The epistle appointed to be read for this, the holy feast of the resurrection of our Lord, Easter, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new dough, as you really are without leaven. For Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep festival, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Mark. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had just risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone back from the entrance of the tomb for us?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very heavy. But on entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were amazed. He said to them, "Do not be terrified. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he told you." Thus for this feast day's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, first of all this morning, I would like to take this opportunity in my own name and in the name of all the fathers as well as the sisters to wish each and every one of you and those you love most a very blessed Easter. We wish you the very best. I must take this opportunity also to remind you that we change our clocks next Sunday. And you, in the springtime, remember the saying, you spring forward 1 hour. So you put your clocks ahead 1 hour. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, we have been through Lent, and we went through that which took place Holy Thursday, and we went through the agonizing parts of Good Friday and the crucifixion of our blessed Lord. And all that was somber was presented to us. Today is Easter Sunday. And we're all filled with the alleluias that ring out all over the place. And if we had music and singing and all, we would be singing all the beautiful alleluia hymns and so forth. As though now it's all over, the bad part's over, and now we all go wandering off into the golden sunset of happiness and peace and serenity and beauty and joy. Wouldn't that be wonderful? In today's bulletin, in large, large letters, is the word peace. Twice, as we know, this word peace was instilled in the hearts and minds of the listeners. First, to the shepherds, when our Lord was born. And now again, at the resurrection, after the resurrection, when our Lord himself came and on two occasions issued forth with the word peace. We all want peace. We all want serenity of mind. We all want to enjoy calm and rest and security. And when we hear the word peace, we conclude that what we're asking for is really that everything around us is peaceable. Yes, peace does indicate peaceableness, doesn't it? And that would be fine. But that would only be part of what we're talking about, and a very small part at that. Peace, as we must interpret it, is not that we want calm waters all around us and that everything is lovely and we have nothing to fear. My beloved people, the peace that the angel had in mind when he came to the shepherds at the beginning, and the peace that our blessed Lord had in mind when he appeared to the apostles, both of them had the same thing in mind. After all, the angel was the messenger, wasn't he? And what was that peace? The peace was that which was to happen inside, not out there, not peaceableness, not freedom from danger and harm and all that, but that which took place inside. The shepherds were rustic sheep herders. And I dare say you don't find the most cultured of people amongst sheep herders. Rough and rugged, ready to withstand the onslaughts of whatever, the night, or the day, or the wind, or the storm, or the wind, or the rain, or whatever. They're rough men. They heard the message of peace to men, important, peace to men of goodwill. Not as we have turned it around, goodwill to men. Peace, as we've turned it around, is like a gift. We're demanding a gift to be given to us so everything will be lovely. We'll have nothing to worry about. Goodwill to men. No. It's peace to men of goodwill. The shepherds ran, demonstrated their goodwill, and they saw. When they returned, they were no longer the same men that they were when they made their entrance. The apostles, locked up in the room, were also rustics. And after our Lord appeared to them and gave unto them peace, they no longer were men of the same caliber. There was a difference in them. There was a change. That word change keeps coming up We have not used the word conversio lately, but conversio and change are the same thing. It means something has to happen, not outside of me, but something has to happen inside of me. We think that Easter has come now and everything is lovely, beautiful, full of the air, especially today is not quite so promising, but at least we think that Easter is the morning air of Easter is full of dew and the birds are singing and everything is wonderful, the flowers are blooming and we're lovely and we're happy. Peace is something that is given to those who work for it. We sometimes also think that peace is like perhaps when here we can sit comfortable, we go outside in our deck chairs, the morning air, the morning breeze, and I sit in the chair and the lovely spring aromas of the blooming flowers and the birds are singing, all that will just descend upon me and all will be lovely. And I will have to do nothing but just to sit there and enjoy it. Enjoy it while I still indulge in my own self-interests and self-egoisms. I will not have peace, and there's no use worrying about getting peace as long as I continue to indulge in myself. Is that clear? There'll be no peace in me. Why? Because as long as I am concerned about me and mine and what belongs to me, I will be concerned in the protection of that. I will have my ramparts set up to fight away the enemy. I will have no rest, because I will be looking at all the dark corners to see where the enemy lurks. No peace. Anxiety, unrest, fear, apprehension, concern, and everything else that goes with it. Peace is the greatest gift that can be given to us other than other things that you know are greater. Peace is something that is in us, that is given to us because of that which we have given beforehand, and our goodwill has called upon us, or made us available, rather, to receive and to be receptive of that which God gives, and God alone can give it. I cannot hope to get this from Almighty God as long as I continue to be me. I must be forgetful of me, altogether of me. I don't mean by that that we have to sit back and just sit on our hands and wait for God to do it all for us. Of course I don't mean that. We have to work for this great gift of peace. We have to make ourselves available. We have to make ourselves adjustable, worthy of this great gift. And one of the things that we have to give heed to, my beloved people. It's difficult, very difficult. One of the things that we have to adjust ourselves to, if we want to have peace, and that is to come to grips, with suffering. Our blessed Lord Himself showed the way. We weren't put here to suffer. God did not create me for the purposes of suffering. God created me to save my soul. But if I am to save my soul, I must be willing to do whatever it takes to save my soul. I must be willing to suffer all that is required of me to save my soul. Therefore, He did not create me for the purpose of suffering. He created me for sanctity. But in order to achieve sanctity, I must be willing to accept suffering. The two cannot be separated. The two are not separated. Suffering can come to us. Here I am on Easter Sunday. Of course I must talk about suffering on Easter Sunday. Because today we tend to forget. And don't look. You know, here some time ago we had a picture of our blessed Lord in the crown, crucified on the cross, and I asked you to study the look on His face as He was looking out. He saw sinners like clouds of dust, like clouds of dust going straight, headlong, blissfully into hell. And He saw that all that He had given, there He was, Christ Himself, God Almighty, hanging on His cross with arms outstretched, like we said before, like the man standing on the beach with his arms outstretched to stop the tide of destruction. And here He was, God Almighty Himself, hanging on the cross with His arms outstretched, unable to stop that cloud of dust going straight into hell. The power of Satan is absolutely immeasurable. And so we cry out to those of us who cry out to Christ and to God, save us, O Lord, lest we perish. And we promise, O Lord, to do all that is necessary to keep us from perishing. And on Easter, we have to talk about suffering. Because we have to make that which took place on Friday good. And remember, we have said how many times that that which happened on Good Friday is the most significant, the most powerful, the most tremendous, the most awesome act of love ever put forth by man, by any man who walked the face of the earth. Christ, we refer to him as a man at the moment. Act of love. And everything we do, everything, my beloved people. This doesn't mean that we have to change our arrangement of things. It doesn't mean that we do not have to, that we can stop going out to get a job or to work our gardens or to scrub floors or whatever, but that everything we do, we start out in the morning, everything for love. Everything for love. If Christ could love that way, why shouldn't I love that way? In the Mass, we say every morning, the priest says, "What have I given to thee for all that you have given to me?" Sacrifice and suffering. I would like for you, if you would be so kind, to just read with me. I will read it to you from today's bulletin. If you will just follow along. Authentic Christianity alone will save the world. I'll read that again. Authentic Christianity alone will save the world. The only thing that can save the world and the holy and true religion of Jesus Christ from complete destruction and total annihilation is the life lived by that part of the family of man yet alive that is willing to live the authentic life of penance and prayer and sacrifice. A surviving family willing also to offer its shoulders to bear the heavy cross of suffering and persecution from whence salvation comes. The cross did not come to an end on Good Friday afternoon. The cross was planted in the ground on Good Friday afternoon. It is still there. And unless and until we take advantage of that cross, let us not worry about anything else. You think that I here am standing fat and content and telling you to carry your cross? My beloved people, how funny. You ought to carry the cross of a monk or a nun. It's very heavy. Every day, every minute of every day. No man or woman is free of that if we love God. It's painful, very painful. Very awesome. And each one of you obliged to bear the weight, to help bear the weight of that cross. You are not going to get out of it. It matters not. Even those who say, I do not believe, they don't realize it, but the weight of the cross that they have to carry is tripled in its weight, but they don't know why. There's something on my shoulders that's bearing me down, and because they have fallen from grace, they do not know what that something is. Nobody is free of this weight. And here it is Easter, when we thought we had put the cross away. And that we now could enjoy the glories of this morning. No, the cross is still there. And when we say Happy Easter, yes indeed, it is a happy day. And to carry the cross as it should be carried, to carry the cross as it must be carried, should be the greatest act of happiness known to man. The greatest act of happiness. At the same time, if we do not accept it as it has to be accepted, as it must be accepted, this very same cross becomes an obstacle that is beyond speaking. On Easter Sunday morning, I don't intend, and I didn't intend for this talk this morning to make us sad. The cross is on you. Accept it. The cross is on us. Accept it and say thank you, God, for this privilege. Because I am that much more like Jesus Christ. Because I am carrying this cross. It is not an argument. It is not in debate. Some of us in different and various and sundry places think that argument and debate and gossip and talking and writing and all that other falderal that goes along with all the foolishness, you know, when I'm trying to prove myself to be knowledgeable, is all that my worries are today. Of course not. We create our own worries when we start that foolishness. Put away all the jibber-jabber and let us use our voices only to give praise to God. Let us use our strength only to give praise to God. Let us accept the cross only to give praise to God. Let us accept Easter only to give praise to God. Blessed people, and you are blessed. Please kneel.